today on Living on Every Word.
The Bible calls it an attitude of thankfulness. It's supposed to be a way of life for you and for me. Not just Thanksgiving Day and thanking God for all the bounty.
But this is something Christians are supposed to do every single day of their life.
As we approach Thanksgiving this week, what are you grateful for? That's certainly easy to answer when times are good, but what if life's not so good for you right now? When times are tough, you may be asking, what is there to be thankful for? Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher helps us address that very question in part one of Attitudes of Thanksgiving.
Living on every word.
There's a lot to be thankful for, isn't there? You know, even when times are difficult, there's a lot to be thankful for. Some of us may be better at hiding it, but none of us are immune to difficult times, and we all enjoy the good times. And so I'm always grateful for this time of year when we can thank the Lord, and it can't really be commercialized. How do you commercialize Thanksgiving, you know? And so I love this time of year. There truly is a lot to be thankful for. Today I was just thinking about the songs that we were singing, and we kind of had a mix of some of the old and some new. And I thought, you know, that's what Cottonwood really is. That's a good illustration, a testimony of God's work, of God's provision, yes, but also a testimony of God's faithfulness over generations. I'm so grateful for Fanny and Stephen. We not only share, I feel they're like family to me, but we share a kinship that goes farther because of the heritage of Fanny and Stephen's family and their faithfulness to keep the doors here at Cottonwood open. We're here today because of the faithfulness of that family. We're seeing people, thousands of people come to know the Lord in other countries. We're able to send people from this place in the middle of nowhere. God has always been a God, it seems to me, to use the least of. And I really feel like, you know, not in a negative way, but I really feel like Cottonwood is kind of a least of place. And I'm a least of kind of guy, and I think most of you in here, nobody would stand up and say, yeah, I'm the best. I think we're all kind of least of people, and that's who God enjoys using. We really appreciate y'all's faithfulness. As a testimony of your giving, God demonstrated his faithfulness to you, and we have a lot to be grateful to God about. Sometimes I think that God gives us not what we deserve, but a little extra. In South Louisiana, where my wife is from, they call that lanyap. I believe that God gives us some lanyap, and I believe that the work that God continues to do among us is not anything that we deserve. It's not anything that we even begged God for. It's just a little lanyap, because God is truly, truly a great God. Mike?
Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Father God, we are grateful for this thing called relationship with God through Jesus Christ, where we can enter in and stay in the presence of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the presence of Christ. We thank you for the throne room that you invite us to, the throne room of grace, the throne room of mercy. I thank you, Father, in that throne room that you, O God, sit on your throne, Jesus at your right hand, Gabriel in your presence, God, the angels, the glory of God. And you've invited us to that. Every single moment of our lives, Father, I want to thank you for that great opportunity. And we talk about a Thanksgiving service. We thank you for a God who hears us, a God who listens to us, a God who speaks to us, who is near, always, always near. And we praise you for that thought today. And we ask, Lord, that as we open the Word this morning and we consider some things about thankfulness, that you would speak to us. And that, Father, that the Word of God would become so strong this morning in our lives, that we would go from this place, Lord, not just having heard the Word or heard these things or have sung of these things today, but that, God, we'd go from this place changed to live out the work and the Word that you placed in our hearts and lives. Thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for this Bible. We ask, God, that you'd speak to us. And that, Father, you'd show us great things about it. And, Father, if there's something in our lives that needs correction, I pray that you'd rebuke. And I pray, Father, if there's places in our lives that, Lord, that we're just kind of struggling, that you'd encourage us. And if there's some things, Lord, that you and your heart and mine, or that we're doing well, that you would spur us on to even more. Come, Lord, speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. We're going to be looking at a few verses of Scripture here, but we're going to really be concentrated on verse 20, and since we're still a week away from Thanksgiving, I'm hoping to expand on this message of thankfulness this morning, but I want to just kind of give you an outline of just as I look at this whole thought of thankfulness and what that means. But first of all, look at verse 15. Verse 14. It says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. But instead be filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." Notice verse 20. "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." Always giving thanks about all things. It's easy to thank God when things are going well in our lives. It's easy to thank God when our marriage is well, or when our children are doing well and they're healthy, and all those good things of life that God allows us to walk in. But my Bible and your Bible says that we are to always give thanks for all things. The good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly. And we all go through life. Matter of fact, that can be some of our lives on a weekly basis. We hit hard things. We hit easy things. We hit good things. We come across bad things. We come across evil things. And sometimes evil is actually done unto us. The Scripture says, though, very clearly, very distinctly, Paul, of all, would know this, of the life that he lived and the life that he shared and was transparent with the churches about his life and the things that he struggled with and hurt through. He would say, always give thanks for all things. Why would he say that? Because I believe that it's the key to the Christian life. This attitude that we possess in this life should be one of great thankfulness unto our great Creator God and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, no matter what is taking place in our lives. We can talk about Job in his good times, and we can talk about Job in his bad times. And what do you see? You see the consistent worship of God, the consistent blessing of God in who He is, and this understanding that it is God who gives, it is God who takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But that's not easy. It is hard to say, thank you, God, that my wife's drinking again, or my child is out there doing things again that I just thought he was done with. It's hard to say, thank you for that. Matter of fact, in some of these struggling times that we have, and I know that I've scratched my head while I'm being prompted to say, thank God for it. Because it doesn't make sense to thank God when it's bad. It just doesn't make sense to those of us in the flesh. But I'm going to tell you, when you're trained by this godliness and this righteousness, and that's what it is, a grateful heart is a training in righteousness. It's the response that we're to make to the problem, to the struggle, to the good, and to all those things, is to say, thank you, Lord. Don't understand it, and I don't like it. Have you ever said that? I don't like it, but thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for this relationship struggle that I'm having. Thank you for this thing that happened. Thank you, Father, for the bankruptcy. Thank you, Father, for the lack. Thank you, Father, for the loss. Thank you for all these things. Thank you. Paul says it in many in a different way. He says it to the Colossian church. In chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and show yourselves thankful." Ephesians 4, 2, he will go on and say, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with," here it is, "an attitude of thanksgiving." Do y'all know what an attitude is? Well, when we think about an attitude, you say that person has an attitude. That means that's very negative, right? That person has an attitude and needs to change and adjust his attitude, and I wish I could be a part to adjust it, right? You ever felt that way? Yeah, I wish I could be a part to adjust that attitude. And I would say, well, somebody needs to adjust your attitude against his attitude, right? It's a vicious cycle sometimes. But what is attitude? It's what we all have, whether it's a negative attitude or a positive attitude. Everyone that came into this room today has an attitude. You have an attitude. You have a way, and the Scripture speaks of it. The word actually has the word with mind in it. It means to exercise the mind, to entertain a sentiment or an opinion, but it also means to be disposed in your mind to a certain direction. And what is your attitude? What is the mind that you have that is directed, and what is it directed toward? Is it something always negative, or is it something that's positive? Is it something where you're grumbling and complaining, or is it something where you really are thanking God for all things? The Bible calls it an attitude of thankfulness. It's supposed to be a way of life for you and for me. It must be our first response, not just Thanksgiving Day and preparing for it and thanking God for all the bounty. Yes, that's a part of it. And we like, Scott, I love this holiday. Love is my favorite. Can't wait to be a part of it. But this is something Christians are supposed to do every single day of your life. You're to thank God for the situations. And I'm just of opinion of living life in ministry and the problems that I see in people's lives is this, that a spirit of ungratefulness continues to contribute to the downward spiral of your life. That's what I just believe. Start thanking God for things, and I want to tell you, you know if that makes sense? Things begin to change. It's your way and it's our way of saying, Jesus, you're Lord of that. I talked a little bit about that a few weeks ago on my birthday, and I was thinking about all these things about my life and how I always just kind of evaluate my year. And this year, I wasn't going to put any goals down except these four goals, and that was in everything give thanks, confess Him as Lord, make sure you're loving well, right? And the fourth one is walk by the Spirit. And I just ask the question of a church, are you grateful today? Are you a grateful people for who God is in your life, who He is in your family, and who He is in our church together? Because I tell you, there's certain things that I know get on some of our nerves, right? Not just your nerves, my nerves. And again, things I don't like. But you know what? We're a family. We're a part of one another in this season of our lives. And I got to tell you that if when you're thanking God, you are doing something, I believe, of faith, of Christ. You're being like Christ. You're being like God. There's this spirit that's coming forth from your life. And guess what a thankful person has? He has lots of people who want to be around him or her. How grateful are you? How grateful are you when you wake up and you're down on your back and you say, God, I'm going to thank you for this in spite. How grateful are you when the situation comes and the word comes to you that's not very good? Will you say thank you? I want to tell you, that's what I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to this proposition that everything that goes on in your life this week and next month, hopefully you'll have a habit of it, everything, the negative and the positive, you thank God for it and you watch Him work. You watch Him move. Now, when I look at Scripture and I look at this whole thought of thankfulness, Paul and Jesus links thankfulness to a couple of things. The first thing that I want to suggest to you or say to you that Paul links a thankful spirit and an attitude of thankfulness to finding peace with God or peace of God. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Paul links thankfulness to finding peace, finding the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, here it is, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then whatever is true or honorable or right or pure, whatever is lovely, of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And the things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Why would Paul have the audacity to say the things that you have received and heard and seen in me? Consider those things. Imitate those things. Why? Because I tell you, Paul was a persecuted man. He was a man full of trouble. And when you read the scriptures, and when you read the Bible, and you read his letters, those times that are taking place, read it in Acts. I mean, he gets beaten with Silas, and he's thrown into the jail, and what does he do? He has a worship service over it. Praises God. Thanks him. When they come out of persecution or out of jail, what do they say? We thank God that we had the opportunity to speak of Christ and to suffer for him. We thank him. And what he'll do is, he says, I will guard, the peace of God will come. When you, with this thanksgiving, you do these things, the peace of God will come, and it'll guard your heart, and it'll guard your mind in Christ Jesus. And Lord knows, God knows how much I need for his peace to guard my mind. Because in a moment, in a flat second, I can be doing well, and something comes to me, and my mind's not guarded, and my mind starts to run, and it runs fast from the peace and all this stuff that I was walking in that was good stuff and good things, and runs to anxiety, and runs to stress, and runs to those things. We need the peace of God to guard our minds. Because we all know that this week, our mind ran to some things that it shouldn't be running to. Is that right? We jumped to conclusions. We think things that are negative, that really God's about and God's doing, that's significant, impactful. And we fail to truly submit these things to our great God. Always giving thanks, he says. Always, always, always. It's linked to the peace of God. Try it this week. Thank him immediately and watch the peace of God come. Come into your heart, into your life. When we praise him and thank him, the peace of God is promised. Try it. I dare you. Thankfulness. So let me tell you what else Paul links. He links unthankfulness to. He links unthankfulness to ungodly living. Go to Romans chapter 1, if you would. Romans chapter 1. Probably one of the most descriptive passage of scriptures on what happens to people who run the wrong way, who run from God, and find themselves in the deepest pit of sin and darkness. I mean, Romans chapter 1 is going to have you looking at things of immorality and those kinds of things, depraved mind, unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, envy, murder, and strife, and deceit, malice, and all these things that folks walk in. And it's really, really interesting to me that when God allows these folks to go in that direction, he allows it because of one, I believe, one reason is that they, look at verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies might be dishonored among them. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, and their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men, and committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Now watch verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Look at verse 21 for a moment. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Didn't acknowledge God, and no longer gave thanks. He links ungratefulness to the downward spiral of a people. And I just got to tell you, when I'm in my stink and I'm in my stuff, I'm going in directions and downward in my mind and my heart that can be very, very dangerous. But I want to tell you, I begin to thank God and I begin to praise Him in the difficulty, in the things that I'm afraid of, in the things that I'm struggling with. God shows up and He moves. And all of a sudden, I'm heading one way in my mind and my heart, and maybe sometimes it moves for you from your mind and your heart to actions and deeds and those kinds of things. And I just stop and just begin to say, God, thank you. Thank you for this pit. Thank you for this struggle. Thank you for this darkness. Thank you for this, because I know you're a God who's in control. Do you remember last week when we talked about Jonah? How God was such control? God appointed a wind. God appointed a fish. God appointed a tree. God appointed a worm to eat that tree. And God then appointed a scorching wind to just beat down on Jonah, expose his heart. God did this. 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 Hey, it's time to start thanking God. Thank Him. Doesn't make sense. Thank Him. You know, I walk with so many of you through hard circumstances and hard struggles. And I just want us to learn how to thank God. Not talking about spiking a football in the end zone and doing a jig for these things. I'm talking about thanking God. Thank Him. Unthankfulness is linked to ungodly living. Now, there's another thing that Paul links thankfulness to, and I want to show you this in Luke chapter 17, and I just want to call it effective faith. Effective faith. Luke chapter 17. And then we will close with this morning. Luke chapter 17. Verse 11, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, Luke 17, verse 11, while he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered the village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Watch, your faith has made you well. I love the connection of faith making someone well with this attitude of thankfulness. I mean, immediately this guy, 1 out of 10, a tenth of these people who were touched by God with this horrible, horrible, debilitating disease that separated you from society, that separated you from your family because you were unclean, so you lived in the leper colony. And there's 10 of these men that are living this way. Leprosy, what it is your nerves, they die on the tips of your fingers and your feet, and you beat them, or you hit something, you don't know you hit it, and there's no feeling in them. And before long, your hands are becoming nubs, and your nose, you might hit your nose to something, and your nose gets damaged, and it gets infected, and your feet and your toes, and anything that you touch, you know, that it just eats you away. And I want to tell you, if you had leprosy in those days, he didn't have fellowship except with lepers. Bad disease. Change your life completely. And these 10 men had leprosy that were healed by the mighty hand of God. And one stops immediately. Why? Because I just believe this is the guy who had the attitude of gratitude. He turns back to give thanks. And what does God say? Your faith has made you well. This faith connect, my faith in God, my faith in His power, my faith in His saving power, His faith that comes to save me in my emotional stabilities, the God who heals my diseases, this great God that I have faith in, He says, listen, there's this connection to faith people and gratefulness. man of faith, woman of faith in Jesus, you go through life thanking God. Thanking God for it all. How do you get there? How do you get there? Well, I'm going to have to talk about that next week, because that's just the first part of Ephesians chapter 5. How do you get there? How do you get to this place? Well, you got to arise from the dead so Christ can shine on you. You got to get born again. And then you have to walk. You need to walk by the Spirit in the things that are wise, making the most of your time. And then you need to be filled with the Spirit, and you need to be filled with the Spirit together. That's how you get there. But we'll talk about that next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's do that right now. I want to ask the question, because I think some of you are really, if not most of you, are tracking with this, because you've got something going on in your life that you haven't thanked God for. And it doesn't make sense to thank God for. And we're going to do this hymn of invitation today, because I want to give you the opportunity to come to this altar just as you are, just as you've been, to come to His presence, to say, God, I've been ungrateful, I've been unthankful. Even in the great things that you've done in my life, I've allowed all these other things that have just closed in on me, these negative things, and I've allowed those things to keep me from worshiping you and thanking you in my heart on a daily basis. And God, I've not in all things giving thanks to you. I'm not always giving thanks for all things. And I want that to change today. I know I want that to change about my life. Because I know in recent months I've had some situations and circumstances that I myself have gone through and have walked through in a personal way that have just really been hard. But I've noticed that the moment I begin to thank Him for those very situations that are hard, He comes. He shows. Church, what are you struggling with today? Thank Him. Thank Him right now. Praise Him and bless Him. Father God, we come before you today. We thank you so much for all things in our lives. And Lord, even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's hard, even if we're hurting and struggling, Lord, we just ask, God, that we would have this kind of attitude today. An attitude of great thankfulness to you, because you are worthy of praise. This Thanksgiving season, it'll be easy on a Thursday morning to gather families around us and walk through that day thanking you. But what about tomorrow morning? Or what about even when we get back in the vehicle to face what we're facing in this day? Oh God, may we thank God. May we thank you for your great work and your great movement in our lives. Come, Lord, fill us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing this old favorite invitational hymn. And to think of these words, just as you are, you get to come. Some of you might hear me today. You might be here today and you've never given your life to Christ. You've never been awakened from the dead. Maybe some of these things really don't make sense to you. Christ is calling you. I invite you to come, be a part. Maybe you just need to come to this altar and just forgive, ask God to forgive you for your grumbling and complaining. And maybe you need to thank God for this hard circumstance you're going through this week. Go on, try it. Test Him, prove Him to be so faithful. Let's sing unto Him.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on